Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor with Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
How the devil are you, Ben? Are you all right?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Not too bad. And we're also joined by a spectacular human being, a Mr.
Is there someone else coming on apart from me?
Yeah, he's late. What's he playing at?
Hello, it's me, Dan Butcher.
So Dan, you're an action movie. I always think of you as an action movie fan, like first and foremost. But you like your horror and stuff, right?
Good, yeah. Like well in with the horror. I think I had one of those mental school friends at secondary that had like horror posters all over his wall.
Yeah,
and we'd always end up going around there watching Evil Dead 2 and Texas Chainsaw and stuff like that. So I kind of was forced very violently into the world of horror, and I like it.
Yeah.
Forced very violently.
Yeah. It's like you get like a pizza after going, like, gone.
Would you count this film we're going to talk about today as a horror film? Because I've read a lot of people describing it, you know, just as a science fiction action film. Horror tends to be like the last genre description they add to this. Would you consider it?
Yeah,
horror?
I don't know. I don't know. There's certain horror elements.
I kind of feel like... Because it's John Carpenter, it almost makes it horror straight up. But then again, he's done obviously films that aren't horror at all. Escape from New York and the
Dark Star. The awful Escape from LA.
Oh, yeah, of course. Escape from LA, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of more of a science fiction film, but like, I think it was kind of working in his heavy kind of political commentary that he wanted to get over at the time. But I guess we can get over. We haven't mentioned the film yet.
Well, they've clicked on the link, haven't they?
Oh, so you'll know.
You've done what? Clicked on the link, have you? Oh, now you're in for it.
Yeah. Well, before we get into all that anyway, we normally like to bring up the news. The horror news. Have we got anything, Ben?
Yeah, okay. So I don't know if you've seen, a lot of people have been connected to this apparent Scream 5 movie that's coming soon. Apparently David Arquette signed on. I've heard Matthew Lillard apparently is circling it. Ain't got much on. Neve Campbell apparently is interested in it as well. Have you heard about this? Apparently it's going to be directed by the guys who directed Ready or Not.
Okay.
Yeah, Radio Silence, they're called. They call themselves Radio Silence for some reason. Like a band name.
Yeah. It's Radio and Silence.
Didn't Matthew Lillard's character die in Scream?
Well,
yeah, he did.
I guess. He kind of got stabbed a few times. It was implied that he died. But with Scream, I kind of feel like they're pretty open with that.
You just come back to his twin.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen, though? There's going to be videos that have been left. Videos that have left behind saying, right, I'm a serial killer, and if this is 20 years later, then play this video, and I'll tell you how to deal with the next guy. Do we feel like we should just leave this alone? Because obviously we've had a TV show of Scream as well. Do you feel like maybe it's
the problem,
too much?
The problem is they're going to Riverdale it. I bet you they're going to Riverdale it.
Yeah.
I just don't. A lot of people do like that whole vibe, but I just can't get on with it. It grates against me.
Yeah, my wife was kind of really into Riverdale, and then it kind of kept on jacking up. And it was like, she can take trash up to a point.
Yeah.
But it just went, and it was like, done.
I kind of watched my fiance watches it all the way through, and I look over every few episodes or so, and it started out with like some high school drama, and then there was a serial killer, and then there was like a demon goblin king, and then what's his name became a boxing coach, Archie. I was like, what's happening?
What's happening?
It sounds great. Yeah. It sounds great. Did you guys see any of the Scream TV show?
I think we tried to watch the first episode, but I didn't give it a proper go.
I think we watched the first series, and then the second series just wasn't really doing it for us, and we kind of bugged out. But it was fun enough, the first series, kind of unchallenging TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch that one?
I didn't actually see it.
No. It was essentially like a group of kind of friends, and then like the ghost face killer started going around attacking people, and it was like a whodunit, essentially. And there's lots of grisly murders and the Riverdale kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Lots of sex, violence, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think Scream...
It sounds like something that would translate well into TV show form.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did okay.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like it's kind of ripe for... Because I feel like slashers are on the way back. Halloween did really well. And Scream, the first Scream, the reason it worked so well is because it's so meta and so like it talks about the genre. It'd be interesting to see if they could capture that again in Scream 5. I think they tried to do that in Scream 4, but I barely remember that at all.
No, I thought it wasn't too bad, and then we watched it relatively recently. I was like, kind of take or leave that one. It was wasn't great, but there's so much you can do with horror, and it's kind of you put on, like, we searched through Netflix trying to find a horror title, and you put something on, and in 20 minutes you've kind of worked out what's going to happen in your house, right? It's going to be this, and invariably it always is. And it's like, why not just someone like the person we're going to talk to tonight about tonight, John Carpenter, use a tiny little budget but do something really imaginative and something a bit out there. But
Like with Netflix, you could almost tell, it sounds really, really narrow-minded, but you can almost tell what film's going to be like just from the title, because I think there's like a group of particular titles for horror films that like certain ones I can really just know exactly what you're going to expect. Things that say things like "Before I Wake," and I don't even know if that's one, but just something like that. That's
more
three,
likely.
Three words I've just stuck together: "Before I Wake," "Don't Wake Up," "He Woke Up," "Tonight." I was like, there's all of this shit. I was just saying that all horror titles are just like, they're really, really similar. A lot of stuff on Netflix anyway.
Yeah, you're right.
There are a few gems on there, a few good ones on there, definitely.
I always get knocked off with bloody Amazon Prime. You see a classic on there and you go, right, let's watch Critters.
Yeah.
And he flies out.
Rent,
£5.
No. In front of the Amazon, like the Amazon store page as well, like they'll have really good stuff, but it would be like 5 pages deep. Behind a load of shit, so you're never going to go that deep, because you're going to see that shit. You feel like it's only going to get worse from here. There's no way I'm venturing past page two. But there's some good
sometimes
stuff.
You go on and this tanker come up, and you're like, well, why is that not fucking right near the front?
Yeah, exactly.
That's like a gem. But that whole Amazon Prime UI is trash. It's awful. Who else are we going to go after?
For some of the classics, I tend to rent on YouTube. It's only a few quid, like, here and there. If I really can't find it, if it's nowhere on Netflix, nowhere on Amazon Prime, Now TV, any of that stuff, a lot of classics are on YouTube, and it's only like $2.99 for a HD 48-hour rental.
That's all right. So £2.50. I mean, like, how do you guys feel about the whole £20 for a cinema rental? For me, I'm not sure about that, but
I haven't done it. I think Ben's done it. Have you?
One of the reasons I like going to the cinemas, because, like, as often as I do or did was because it's like a fiver, like it's a view and it's £5. I feel like I wouldn't go as much if it was like even a tenner. So the fact that it's £20, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. But like, so I'm willing to help.
Yeah, room full of 10 people, £20's nothing. If there's you watching on your own,
yeah,
that's quite a hit.
It's kind of, if you charge some people to come over, yeah, now we're in business.
Literally.
we have to want to come in and watch Invisible Man? Yeah.
Yeah.
£5 each.
£5. Social distancing.
Social distancing. There. No, yeah. Luckily,
it's just a video of your living room. No, the Invisible Man's in there. He's in there.
He's in there. Watch that mug. It'll move in a minute.
Yeah. Any other news, Ben?
Yeah. So I spotted this. So apparently, Mike Flanagan is going to revisit Stephen King's The Stand for an upcoming limited podcast series.
Okay.
A 6-episode limited podcast series. And apparently it's just discussing it. It's not going to be like a version of The Stand, which I kind of read that as. And I just started reading it then and realized it was just discussing it. It's not quite as interesting, is it? They're going to do The Stand. Oh, well, yeah, you go, brand new version of The Stand. Just talking about it. Yeah, great.
Weren't they going to do any ships of that? The Stand.
I remember hearing it was going to be a series, and then it was going to be like possibly a Netflix thing, but let's see where it's at currently. Yeah. So apparently in January 2019, it was announced that there was going to be a series, and they've got, well, there's a full cast here.
Okay.
Release date to be announced.
But I mean, this would be the perfect time to release it during the coronavirus.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can't get people to watch your TV show now, you're fucking done for.
And then the only other thing in regards to that is that apparently there's been a bit of a resurgence for drive-in movie theaters in the US. And I've seen a few rumors that a few are going to come to the UK. Is there any near you? I heard someone say one was opening near Bristol recently, but...
I saw one pop up in my local Facebook group. There's like... they've done like a drive-in cinema thing. They've all kind of getting it ready to rock and roll, and I put my name down on the email list. And I thought, well, if me and my wife go with our son, how's that going to work? Because we might have to sit on one of our laps for the entirety of the film, unless you stick your head out the window. And that's not, So you have to see, how that goes.
Yeah,
I'd do it once for the experience. I'll do it once for the experience.
So apparently it's making quite a lot of money in the US. So obviously because there aren't any new releases. Apparently a film called The Wretched has been doing quite well. Quite a low budget horror movie. It says creature feature, but I think it looks like a sort of possession film. Quite a low budget. You heard of this, The Wretched?
No, I've not heard of that one.
No.
Yeah, so apparently it's been making quite a lot of money, so I might try and check that out at some point if it's available. But yeah, that'd be quite cool. How much are we willing to spend for drive-in theaters, though? How much are they generally?
I have no clue. I've never been to. I presume it might be per car, as opposed to people watching it.
Can you get 10 people in your car?
Give it a
also,
go.
Where would you do it, in a car park? Where do the?
Well, I guess this one must be like a. Mate. Yeah, a film, like a field, and they bang up a screen or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd be up for it.
It'd be pretty cool to check it out. So that's all I've got down for the news, really. I think we're a bit thin on the ground. But anything else? Was that anything else anyone's noticed recently?
No. Not horror-wise.
Nothing else out there, mate. Nothing else going on.
What have you guys been
looking
watching?
Around the streets for the general horror. Unfolding,
screaming at the window.
I thought the apocalypse would be a lot more entertaining, to be honest.
It's a bit like a whimpering out sort of. There's no explosions, the shop's closed, and we just have to eat slower.
I think it's just the
people out there just going, I've had enough now. People are out there. That's the attitude people have got there, which is just like pandemic, apocalypse. Yeah. Turn it in. I don't know. Come on.
This is a bit boring.
2 centimeters.
It's like snow after the first couple of days. You're like, I've got enough of this. Just fucking get rid of it. Let's go back to work.
First day. It's so magical. It's beautiful. Third day. Fucking clearing off your windscreen. And fucking
shit.
Yeah. You, what have you guys? Have you guys been watching anything exciting?
Go on, Dan. Have you got a?
We finished watching Better Call Saul, which is fantastic, and we've started rewatching Breaking Bad from the start. So,
interesting.
Forget right. How great that TV series is. It's really good.
Still holds
There's up. There's so much stuff. Yeah, it still holds up. I can't, like, because it's set in a time period, it doesn't date that much. Like, it was set in the 90s. Yeah. So, when we watch it now and they've got like the old cell phones, because it was set in that period, it's okay. It works fine. Yeah, I've been really enjoying it. I think we're like halfway through season two. There's so much stuff. I go, oh God, I bloody can't remember what happens here. And it's a good watch.
I think I'm going to revisit. I saw someone online had made like a supercut, like a 2-hour film version of the entire series. It kind of snipped all the bits up.
Okay.
Took loads out and then sped it up 200 times. And it worked.
Bloody hell, can't even see what's happening. Did you see that El Camino, the
sequel
film thing?
It's a shame that the actor couldn't drop a little weight because he was supposed to be like being held in a cell for like over a year or something, and he came out like I'm not fat shaming or nothing, but like if this
he fucking loves bread. Loves bread.
The Stanislavski method, you know what I mean? Just get into it a little bit. But yeah, it's all right. I think it's one of those things. It was fine for what it was, but it was kind of, if it didn't exist, there would be no loss.
Yeah,
I was a little bit disappointed, but you know, to be expected.
Have you guys seen, I think it's in like an action horror film called Dead Meat. It's like when a cop comes back as a zombie.
Wait, what year is this? What era?
I think 1980s.
Oh, don't think so then.
It might be Dead Heat. Because one of those films I've seen for years, but never watched it. I always read about it. There's a sequence of him and the bad guy just absolutely blasting each other up with guns because they're undead. They're not feeling
it. Right.
It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon, so you can watch it.
What, page one?
It looks like it's called Dead Heat. And I've definitely not seen it, but just from seeing some screenshots, holy shit. Whoa! Yeah, this looks.
I have to watch
this
that.
It's pretty mad.
So the clips I've seen with him, the bad guy and the good guy, kind of zombies shooting each other up, with absolutely no effect, like unloading.
Oh my god! It's Treat Williams, who we saw on this podcast, Deep Rising. Yeah,
that's got the most 90s. Selection screen on the DVD because we fired that up the other week.
Oh wait, I saw that. That was insane. That was like a PowerPoint, wasn't it? Just like anything else, Dan? Have you seen anything else other than that?
No, I struggle to think of kind of a decent horror. We did watch The Hunt, but I'm not sure if that's really classed as a horror film. That was fun enough.
Yeah, I think so. Fun. It's got some.
We did it on the show.
I like the lead.
Did we? I don't remember if we did.
I don't think we did. No, I do like the lead actress.
Yeah,
Betty Gilpin. I really like. Yeah, she's in Glow, and she's been. I've seen her as the lead in a few other things. I think she's a bit of a strange character in The Hunt, I found. Yeah. But it was all right, wasn't it? It was all like that battle royale.
I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was quite surprising. I don't know. I just thought it was maybe the kind of movie I wanted to watch at that particular point in time.
That's the last film I saw in the cinema. The same for you, Luke.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ours was Invisible Man.
That's a good one to end on. Man, Invisible Man was a good film.
Great film. To end on. That's it. Man.
Feels that way.
The story you tell.
Reopen the cinemas. Nope.
No.
Yeah.
My last one was a good one.
Let's leave it at films. That.
Yeah. It was to go in these big rooms and sit down and look at the big screen. That sounds really weird, Dad. Yeah, it's true.
What? That's weird.
Imagine your phone, but
people would sit behind you.
Really close to your face.
People would sit behind you, less than 2 meters behind your head, slinging popcorn all over the place. Yeah, good times. Good, great memories.
Yeah.
Good old days.
Okay, I'll jump in with one. Have you guys ever seen a film called Brain Damage?
Yes. Peter Jackson.
No, I don't know. No. It's Frank Henenlotter.
That's Brain Dead.
Sorry. Oh, Brain yeah. Dead. Yeah. Yeah,
that's a great film. Yeah. This isn't as good as
Brain Dead. It's on Twitter, Luke.
Yeah, so it's have you seen Basket Case, which is like the it's the guy in the New York block. His twin is like a was like a growth on his side.
And it, I've not seen that in years.
Okay, well, this is by the same guy, but it's came out in the '80s, and it's actually the guy in Basket Case are in this as well.
Okay,
like a cinematic universe thing going on. But this is about a guy who comes across like a parasitic slug thing that like injects like. Drugs into his brain but also eats other people's brains, so they have like a symbiotic relationship, and it's called the creature's called Elmer. He sings, he's got like a really sweet voice. It's insane. It's insane.
Sweet voice.
Yeah, it's like a really it's like a Radio 2 you know disc jockey sort of Steve Wright in the afternoon sort of guy.
Oh, nice one.
But
I'll see if I can track that down.
It's actually pretty good. It's a bit slow in places, but it's if you like weird sort of cult horror that is maybe more like a little bit on the comedy side, not all the way, I guess. But
yeah okay,
it's
there
good.
You go.
It's good. In the same vein, I just jumped in this one as well. Was Tammy and the T-Rex? Which have you ever heard of Tammy and the T-Rex?
I only saw it on the but they reviewed it on Red Letter Media.
Oh, okay.
They did a dinosaur episode. And they did it on that. And that looked fucking bonkers.
It's bad. Like on all the Letterboxd reviews, they're all saying this is a bad movie. It's so funny because it's bad. It's not bad enough to be that kind of bad movie. It's not The Room or The Troll 2. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's quite well made. The gore's pretty good. It's just it feels like a Disney film, and they've just got a few gore gags in there.
Like, okay,
she's like my pet T Rex sort of vibe.
Isn't it like her boyfriend?
And then Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Paul Walker. He gets in with Tammy, who's played by Denise Richards, but her ex-boyfriend beats him up and drops him in a lion enclosure in the zoo. So he gets annihilated by lions. But then he doesn't die. There's a doctor who comes in and takes his brain and puts it in an animatronic T-Rex.
Of course he does.
It's all right, it's worth watching. It's
okay.
I'd say Brain Damage might be an easier sell in terms of
okay.
A genuinely good film, but yeah.
To be fair, Tammy and the T-Rex does what it says on the tin. I mean, there's no illusions about what you
well,
get
it doesn't when you because put they when you first load the film, it says Tanny and the Teenage T-Rex. Because the people who baked in the what's it called on the film, they got the film title wrong and they were never able to change it. I don't think they had the money to change it. So it's actually Tammy the T-Rex, but on the film, it's got the wrong name. So,
oh dear,
it's Denise Richards, isn't it?
Yeah.
Looking at the poster now, I'm just going, Jesus Christ! Well,
it's there got we that go. Chap from Weekend at Bernie's playing the professor, the mad. Professor.
Playing a T-Rex.
I don't know the chap's name, but...
He's done like an Andy Serkis motion capture thing. The
T-Rex. Yeah, what about you, Ben? Seen anything?
I've watched quite a lot, so I'll go through things fairly quickly. Won't try and... So I saw a film called The Night Flyer, which is an adaptation of Stephen King's short story. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's got, what's his name? Miguel Ferrer from Twin Peaks in it. Just has the most, like, deplorable, unlikable lead character ever.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Just a dude, just an absolute douchebag. And you're like, what? Are we supposed to be rooting for this guy? Mm-hmm. Basically, the concept is that there's a guy who goes around in a private plane, stopping off at various airports, and just, it turns out he's a vampire. Well, that's kind of, I said that's a spoiler, but that's kind of how it's presented. There's some really good like creature effects in it, but it's kind of like, it feels like you wait too long to see anything. So still, it was
alright. I remember reading the story that it was based on, and there's tons of logistics about like airplane travel, airports. I got really confused. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just couldn't keep up with like the logistics of when you can fly and private airports and stuff.
I've done this research. It's going in the fucking book.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm just going to wait.
I also watched both of the Unfriended films.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys have seen any of those. That's obviously like the desktop horror films. The first one I kind of didn't really get on with, but the second one I quite liked. So the first one was a bit of a supernatural twist.
Yeah.
And the second one was like dark web hackers and stuff like that. I thought that was effective. Like, and the second one was more believable.
Yeah,
definitely. I think maybe it's because like the caliber of actors they had in the second film as well was just a little bit better than the first. In the first one, it kind of felt a little bit like, oh, everyone's just screeching. And and then the second one, it just felt a lot better. So yeah, that was that. And then last night I watched Pitch Black for the first time.
How shiny are those aliens? They're so sucking wet.
Like real some real bad CGI. And like I remember looking back at this quite fondly, but this time around I was just a little bit bored. And then I don't know if you guys know this, but I've always kind of not been able to understand the fascination with Riddick as a character. Like I know obviously there was Chronicles of Riddick, then there was like a Riddick film, and then there were like Riddick video games. Well, I'm a bit like, what's so good about him?
He's got shiny eyes. What do you mean? He's got purpley eyes. What do you want?
Yeah, but in this film, he's painted as like he's a criminal. He's a bit of a pervert. He cuts off like the lead actress's hair at one point and kind of sniffs it. He's a selfish, gravelly voiced bastard, and he has like a redeemable moment at the end. Apparently, like a 10-second redeemable moment. They're like, oh, he's a hero.
Anti-hero, isn't it?
And I just
That game is Riddick Escape from Butcher Bay. That was fucking a really good game. Yeah. It kind of got broken like two-thirds of the way through, because when you got your eyes, basically you could shoot out all the lights and all the enemies wouldn't be able to see you, but you can see perfectly. So kind of it breaks itself. But yeah, it's a really good game. Good game at the time.
I can't remember what that was about. Yeah.
I played a little bit of it, but yeah, this Pitch Black just didn't quite hold up as well as I remember it. Yeah. I kind of had quite fond memories of it, but and that was pretty much it. Oh, watch the new Scooby-Doo animated movie as well.
Okay.
Unfortunately, yeah. it's just all the fundamental stuff that makes a Scooby-Doo film or cartoon or anything is just gone. It's like
it's got in space. Hanna-Barbera.
It's got Dick Dastardly, Captain Caveman, and it's got a weird like boner for Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell is like in the film, and he's like the punchline to at least three jokes. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
it's almost like Simon Cowell turned up in one of the Shrek films, didn't he? It's almost like that. It feels like It feels like we're in 2008 or maybe even earlier than that, where they go, Simon Cowell's the hottest thing on in town. Yeah.
Because that always stuff jars at the time, and then when you watch it later on, it's even worse. You're kind of like, oh, God.
It feels exactly like that, but it's a brand new film released in 2020, so it's even worse. It's even more like, oh, God. That's pretty much it.
I've just got one more that I want to quickly mention. I watched VHS for the first time in years.
For the first time in years. Okay, got you.
Doesn't hold up as well as... I mean, it's still gritty and sort of it's a fun little anthology, but I think the whole sort of, maybe similar to Unfriended, when anything sort of scary or horrible starts to happen, the screen glitches out so much that you can't tell what's going on. I mean, I know that's part of like the charm of it, like you're not supposed to see what's going on, but I think I'm a bit over that now. I mean, there's a couple of good segments. There's the siren one with like the succubus vampire girl. And there's like
that's good.
There's three people who go to a costume party and they end up going to the wrong house and they come across that like an exorcism and they try and help the girl get away.
Yes,
that's pretty good.
I'm
definitely gonna watch, but the others haven't really aged that well. I'm definitely gonna watch the second one though, because I really want to watch that Gareth Evans segment again, because that's I remember that blowing me away when I watched that last time.
I can't even remember if I've seen the second one.
It's got this one segment by the guy who directed The Raid. There's like a full-on sort of visceral, blistering 10-minute segment. It was, I remember being amazing. Okay. So I want to check it out again for sure. Had like an Outlast vibe if you're into the Outlast video games.
I've not played any of them, so I'll be going in fresh.
Cool.
I'll check that out. I'm sure that's on one of the streaming services.
Yeah, just fast forward to the good ones. It's a good thing about VHS. Yeah. Other than that, I watched John Carpenter's They Live.
Yes.
Interestingly enough.
Which is a great film.
You got some information,
Yeah,
Ben?
Okay. So, sure, sorry. They Live is a 1988 American science fiction action horror film written and directed by John Carpenter, based on the 1963 short story 8 O'Clock in the Morning by Ray Nelson. Stars Roddy Piper, Keith David, and Meg Foster. It follows an unnamed drifter, an unnamed ripped drifter, I think we must also say, who discovers sunglasses that the ruling class are aliens concealing their appearance and manipulating people to spread money, greed, and accept the status quo with subliminal messages in mass media. Sorry, it says spend money, breed, and accept the status quo. you know, breed, will you? I'm trying my best.
Yeah, I was watching some interview with Roddy Piper, and he said he got grief from when he does like the topless scene. They were saying that wasn't his body. They thought they'd cheated somehow. And he was like, nah, that was all me. So Lord knows. Yeah, it's obviously him.
It's obviously him in like 88.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a chunky dude, man.
Yeah, he's got the chunk going on. And I mean, he's working hard on the building site all day long. He's going to be absolutely blistering.
Yeah. He's
a beast. First thing you've noticed is the pecs. Pecs on show.
Couldn't let that slide from.
He ripped, he is. He ripped for a drifter.
Yeah, I don't see too many homeless people looking like him. Otherwise, you're doing all right for food, mate.
Yeah, what are you eating? I had a T-bone steak for breakfast. I got all this brown rice and broccoli. His
backpack is like protein bars.
There's like another side to the film where he's clearly just killing and eating people. He's just like bulking right up.
Yeah.
Who's the real monster?
This film is rated higher than I kind of thought it would be. Rotten Tomatoes give it 86%. I kind of figured there'd be a bit lower than that. Letterboxd is on 3.7. User scores on Rotten Tomatoes is 79%. I mean, this is like a Stone Cold classic, really. I don't know if I watched it as much growing up as a lot of people. I don't think I saw random clips of it throughout the years and then eventually saw it. But a lot of people, maybe you guys, it was like part of growing up. I know Andy said it was for him.
I rubbished it off for years because I read the tagline of like a guy puts on sunglasses and sees aliens. And I was like, that's fucking stupid. And that was before I knew kind of like about John Carpenter, that I'd loved all these other films.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm having that. And then I just saw it one night when I was at uni, like Home Alone. And like I came in, turned it on, and he's the bit when he initially puts the glasses on. And I was like, just there. Didn't really need to see the first 20 minutes.
I still don't think you need to see the first 20 minutes.
As soon as the glasses on, it's fine. Yeah. Where have you been?
Yeah. Okay. So, They Live. I was quite late to this one. So I think like loads more John Carpenter stuff I'd kind of seen and seen repeatedly before I even got around to this one. So I reckon maybe like early 20s at some point was the first time I saw it, and I never kind of held it in as high regard as other John Carpenter films. Mm-hmm. And I think I revisited it again like several years ago, and I kind of still feel the same. Like I still wouldn't quite hold it up there as like John Carpenter's best.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely got a certain something about it which I think you can see recreated in a lot of like in a lot of sci-fi that can have kind of followed as
he
well.
He seems to have managed to capture something really interesting and really sort of iconic. Whether or not the rest of the film sort of matches up or it meets that level, it might not be the case. But just those moments with first person sunglasses that obey symbols on the posters and the magazines and the people reading the news, it really does capture your attention. Yeah, I didn't see this for a long time. I didn't see this for years. My dad used to, what's, you know the saying when he, I'm committed to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Yes. Yeah.
My dad used to say that to me all the time. I've never seen the film. So what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, pointing an assault rifle at you.
Oh, yeah.
In the bank. Dad, put that away.
I came across that line in bloody Duke Nukem first.
Yeah.
Because they copied it and used it in that. And I was like, oh, what? They used that from Duke Nukem. And then obviously years later I realised that it was the other way around.
Which Duke Nukem was that?
I can't remember. It's one of the ones old school PC.
Okay.
And he comes out with that line. You're like, oh, okay, that's a good line. And then now I know where he got it from.
I used to love Duke Nukem. I need to play that again.
Yeah. That's a good one.
It's recreating a lot of stuff, and it's recreating in the IT crowd with Moss when he said, I've come here to drink milk and kick ass. And all that milk.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, one of the things about this film is that it's kind of like a wish fulfillment in a way. I always feel like if, say, like all the shit that's going on in the world, and then you realize it was something as simple as this, like aliens have taken over, all you got to do is put on these glasses and you can see all the problems.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
Of course.
It's just that. Like he does it in the film. He says, oh, I knew it'd be something like this.
I always had a feeling.
It'd be great if it was.
Yeah.
Because then you'd be like, oh, the reason my fucking boss is being an arsehole is because he's a fucking alien. But like, it's not that simple.
You think he was, and you can put the glass on, and you go, oh, yeah, Jesus,
he's just a normal guy. He's just an arsehole.
We still like,
bash him in anyway.
There's that whole like David Icke thing, and they're like the lizard people theory and stuff. But even like in the psychopath test, like they talk about how like all the top business owners in the world like are all psychopaths. Like they have no.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
They're a different breed. I think it makes it a bit easier to live with your situation if you know it's not really your fault, I guess.
It was a dude who does the video on YouTube where he administers psychopath tests.
Like he
tests, and there's an interview of him, and he does one, and he's like, this dude's a psychopath. And then it came out that it was him. He had done the evaluation on the test he had taken, and he'd realized he's just like a functioning psychopath. It wasn't murderous or anything, like the majority of them aren't. It was just like in social situations he was just like, if it didn't relate to him, he was just not interested. And I was like, fucking hell, okay. But yes, is that?
I was a psychopath
all along.
I read the psychopath test at the same time as reading Arnold Schwarzenegger's autobiography, Total Recall. And I was like, mate, Arnie's a psychopath. Like, there's some of the things he talks about when his dad dies and he just didn't let it get to, like, he didn't cry or anything because he had a competition to do. Like, he has a psychopathic way of, like, sectioning off his brain in certain ways.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's still a great guy and I love him.
So he's got that kind of drive to kind of keep going forward.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed about this film is all the way through the story, the John Nader character, Rowdy's character, he keeps on giving chances by the bad guys to just give up and join them.
Yeah.
They're not like a lot of conventional films where it's immediately shoot him. Even like after the bank raid, he shut up all the people when he comes out and the coppers are there.
He's actually way more violent than them. He escalates things so quick.
Yeah. they say, like, why don't we just like go somewhere and we can talk about this?
Yeah.
I'm assuming it means like come up with some kind of deal, like we'll give you a load of money, we'll sort you out. And then immediately he just goes to fucking them up.
They've obviously got a lot of humans. There's a lot of humans as well that they've obviously given like the life they want if they just either keep their secret or help them with their agenda. Hmm. So obviously that's kind of part of their goal as well. It's not just to kill everyone who don't conform, it's just to have everyone controlled. All right? Controlled.
I think they're like the idea of that capitalism thing is like the human, the life aspect's not, it doesn't matter so much, but it's about making the money. Let's not fuck with the money.
Yeah.
It's like, you killed a few people, it don't matter. As long as we don't mess around with the money. I mean, even at the end, you know when like the helicopter's there and he's about to shoot it and they say, put the gun down. They don't shoot him immediately. Yeah. And even like the woman's like, come inside, man, we'll sort it out. And then you should be shooting him. Don't let him shoot the antenna. But
They're quite reasonable, really.
Yeah, quite reasonable. Aliens? Yeah, they're aliens, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. So in terms of the plot, we open with Nada. It's an interesting name. Probably thematically resonant, I guess. So he's a drifter, he's homeless. He's every time he's walking through the hot streets of LA, there's that like John Carpenter score, that like it's like a weird slide guitar with a harmonica popping and everything. It's an interesting score. I like it.
He apparently timed that to Roddy's walk. He watched the whole film, then he scored it to like the beat of his walk. So
works. So then Nada, he gets a job at a building site, which I imagine only employs homeless people. It seems like, because then they all sort of live in the homeless shelter.
The camp.
Yeah. Is that a
shanty town?
Do you get places like that in America, like little shanty town places?
My friend went to LA a couple of years ago, and he said there was a massive load of them. All live down. You just don't go down that way. But I presume so.
Don't go down.
No. Yeah. Get some shit.
Fair enough. So while he's there, he's doing pretty well. I don't know if we know much about his history. Is he... find out anything about his history?
I don't think we know much about his history at all, do we? I think we find out a bit of Keith David as Frank. We find out a bit of his backstory, like why he came to LA and the fact that he's got a wife and kids that he's... Mm. kind of want to make money for and stuff. So
there's only one bit, they're in the hotel and Nada's saying about his mum and dad and how they used to preach to him and his dad held a razor to his throat, and I think that's the only kind of little bit of backstory you get.
Roddy seems too nice to have lived that kind of life to me. He's got like a sort of a lion
to him.
Like a serial, I think it's the WWE wrestling sort of vibe, I guess.
How old do you think Roddy Piper was in this film?
I don't 40s? Know. This is in the 80s, so I'm going to say like 40s.
Well, at the time of filming it, he was 34.
Really? Fucking
hell.
Yeah. That's, that's
actually, you I know mean, what?
Even,
I'm 32,
even as like an athlete.
I look pretty old.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's something about him where I just kept thinking, how's he ended up homeless? Thought he had his shit together. Well, you had your shit together, Roddy. What are you playing at?
Yeah.
He's I don't know. He's got a lovely head of hair. He's ripped. He seems to have a nice attitude.
I imagine John Carpenter, when he wrote it, was like, I'm thinking me, but better. Like a better hairline.
Imagine me, but
I always thought you would like... going for Kurt Russell when then Kurt Russell said, oh, I can't do this. This is this conjecture. And it's like, oh, what am I going to do? And then
Roddy Piper, looking at his filmography as well, he's in absolutely loads of stuff.
Yeah.
Like from.
Also.
From.
We watched that other film we saw with the wrestler in fairly recently, CM Punk. was in that. The girl on the
third floor. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I watched that. Yeah.
What did you think to CM Punk's acting in that, Dan?
He basically channeling Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. I feel like Roddy in this was like, he still feels like a wrestler, but and like larger than life, but he felt really natural to the film. Whereas CM Punk did not feel like he belonged in that. I don't know, it seemed weird to me. There's like a disconnect there.
It's one thing I noticed in They Live is Roddy's very handsy with people.
Yeah.
He's kind of really grabbing people and like shaking him. And all the kind of people, he's really kind of like grabbing him and roughhousing him.
It's like a thin shield of him, like has to stop himself from wrestling people all the time. Yeah. Like he's just got to do something.
He's constantly grabbing people.
Yeah.
I can imagine me having a nightmare with the social distancing nowadays. Yeah. How you doing? How you doing?
Two meters, Ronnie. Two? How many is this far? Come here.
Yeah,
but he's very physical. I mean, like, they said John Carpenter wanted to portray him as a bit more of an everyman, like a kind of a normal person. But, like, the punishment he gets in that film, as a bit when he gets smashed over the back of the head with a bottle, falls out the window, like, two stories, and tumbles down. And he's walking away kind of like, I'm a bit fucked up.
He's dead.
He's dead.
That's
The bottle would have been enough.
He goes,
yeah.
Oh, bloody hell, that was a little bit of a bump, wasn't it?
But after that massive fight, basically they're in the hotel room, aren't they? Like just taking drink and bandaging themselves up, just like mashed up, which I quite liked.
Yeah.
That's good though. I like the fact that their relationship, his relationship with Frank as well, they can have a big dust up like that and then they can go, oh, actually, sorry.
Yeah.
We're on the same wavelength now. I'm glad to hear it.
It's a bit because obviously there's two blokes and he starts saying, now, where the fuck do they come from? And he goes, well, they ain't from Cleveland. And he starts going off with him. And he's like, well, when you get a fucking plan, you tell me. I ain't got no idea. And that'd be all of us. Who are like, I don't know.
Yeah. So in the homeless camp as well, there's the resistance. It's like, I got a bit confused actually, because they're sending out video signals trying to warn the public about what's going on. But then there's a preacher who's like saying it as well. Is he sort of like receiving
he's part of it, isn't he? He's kind of like quoting verses of the Bible that are kind of an allegory to the fact that what's going on around you isn't right and you're being treated as slaves. And so it's through the Bible verses, I presume he's trying to get on. I always found like being you guys do graphic design and you know about communication, having like an overweight man fully bearded right up in front of the camera talking to some random nonsense about TV systems.
Just like YouTube.
Yeah. It's not the best way to sell the message.
You kind of see it when a lot of people in the shanty town are trying to watch TV. And as soon as he turns out, they're like, ah, this old shit again, for God's sake. Turn it off.
Yeah, there's that guy licking his nuts again. It's just that arsehole licking his nuts again. Lovely turn of phrase.
I can't remember what happened. So the police, like the government, storm the homeless kit site because obviously the resistance fighters there. Roddy gets the box of sunglasses. What does he get? Oh, he thinks they've got something of value or something. He's like, I'm going to get me a piece of that, maybe. Or
The night before the cops like storm the shantytown thing, he follows that street preacher guy like into the church, and he finds that that's obviously where the resistance as such have been meeting, and they've been playing out. What were they playing out? Like choir? Is it a choir or something? Choir singing. They're playing out.
Just not have it on the music. You've got constant choir music going all the time.
The same
choirs,
song.
There's ain't moving. This is an empty church. You wouldn't even blink an eye.
No one's breathing between notes. No.
I don't see anyone going in and out. It's just continual singing. So that's not right. But it's one thing, when that camp gets raided, he's kind of walking around like in a daze, the character. Yeah. I feel like because he kind of believes in like this kind of American dream of the police and the government are right. If you do a hard day's work, you get given what you're due. And when all this shit's going on, he's just kind of like walking around like, what the fuck is going on? And he only kind of snaps in when he sees that one kid, like all the resistance fighters are getting fucked up with by the police, even the blind preacher. And he sees that one kid, then he sort of like snaps in and starts trying to help him out. But yeah, it's a good scene.
Yeah. So he gets the box sunglasses, hides in an alleyway, I think. And then he tries on a pair of sunglasses. Why does he try them on? Just it's a warm day. Sun's out. Why not?
If I found a box of Ray-Bans, I'd be going straight on eBay.
Yeah.
Got a load of Ray-Bans in.
Ray-Bans, yeah.
They look like VR glasses. Like,
yeah.
3D glasses. Not like the red and not the paper ones, but the sort of the modern 3D glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. I think some people could pull them off. I don't think I could.
But, no.
Thanks. So then,
keep it real,
for you, mate. Not for you.
They're called Hoffman lenses, and I think they're named after the doctor who discovered LSD. So it's like about seeing the real world or something. But yeah,
that's cool. That's interesting. So there's the iconic scene where he puts on sunglasses, sees the aliens. The aliens look like I don't know. I mean, it's kind of skinless creatures with like butthole eyes.
They've got like kind of like shiny egg eyes that kind of come out of their face. Yeah. They're horrible.
You get some egg eyes. Their face that's like
Christmas lights. Christmas lights sticking out of the face. Yeah.
They've got like no lips. So I don't know how they would talk. They seem to talk perfectly. Yeah. But like, I don't know. Like, surely if someone was feeling that, like, because I don't know how the system works. Speaking it doesn't. Yeah,
because at the end it's like a pork pie cut in half. Yeah. Like just all this horrible flecked pink spam. Looks a bit spam like.
Yeah.
And then they've got these watches, which are like communication devices. You know. Also, when you put the glasses on, that's when you see the little drone things flying around as well. And that you didn't see them before.
Oh, and like the things flying. Is it like Zeppelin? Not Zeppelins, but there's some things up in the skies. I can't remember.
Yeah, there's definitely that kind of drone that catches him outside the bank, and there's like the speakers on top of the traffic lights sending out the signal, sort of stay asleep and stuff like that.
Pretty much like every surface, like billboards, books, you know, stuff in windows, stuff on TV, is all this black and white, no frills sort of messages, which are obey, consume, reproduce, conform, all that sort of stuff.
Do you think the aliens see that or not? I can't
One of them's like reading a magazine, though.
Yeah.
So surely, I don't know.
What favorite issue?
You'd be in the supermarket picking up a box and it'd say a bay. And you'd be like, what the fuck's this? Is this washing powder? Is it food? I don't know.
Can we get some small print on these a bay boxes? Because I've had enough.
Yeah, right. I can't tell what it is.
Yeah. I haven't thought about that. Give it a quick sniff.
Yeah. So he's obviously shocked and pretty terrified when he sees the aliens. But then he goes into a supermarket and just causes a load of big old ruckus, doesn't he?
Yeah. As Rowdy Roddy Piper would want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So within 5 minutes, he's looked at his sunglasses. I'd be thinking, I'm not feeling too well. Maybe it's me. But
having a psychotic episode.
Yeah, but within seconds, the police come up to him and he's shooting him or something. Like, yeah. Within about 5 minutes, he is.
It's like a psychotic break. He goes into the bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just shoots up a load of people. And then I think later on he's talking to Frank and he says, oh, you shot all those people in the bank. And he's like, oh, they weren't people. But seeing that from Frank's side of it, he has gone to a bank and murdered a load of people.
Yeah. I mean, he seems like, because when he turns up at the construction site to obviously try and. What does he want from Frank when he turns out at the construction site?
I think he genuinely gives shit about Frank and sort of says, like, you can't believe this.
Because if someone you'd met, a day before, turned up, listen, mate, I've got to tell you, there's these aliens, right, and you've got to put the sunglasses on, you've got to see, and you're just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah. Oh, for God's sake. Just like...
And then we've got maybe the most, I was going to say the most famous scene, putting the glasses on is pretty good, but this kind of tops it. Like a 14-minute wrestling match.
Yeah.
Trying to put the sunglasses on him.
I felt like it was in Roddy Piper's like contract where he was like, there's got to be, I've got to at least do a clothesline, a full Nelson, a German suplex.
I think there's actually three moves that they said they had to have in the fight sequence. I think the suplex is one. I'm not sure about the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a clothesline.
Yeah.
Definitely a clothesline. Do you remember? It reminds me of, do you remember when like the Rocks first started appearing in films and he used to like actually do a rock bottom?
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe like the whatever that first film he was in, what was it called? The Welcome to the Jungle, whatever it was. Remember that one with Sean William Scott?
Yeah.
Definitely does a rock bottom in that.
Definitely
does a rock bottom in like Scorpion King or whatever.
Yeah. In the film where he's running around with swords, he's rock bottoming people for some strange reason.
Doing the people's elbow. Well, stay there.
It was almost like, have you seen the meme lately with Leonardo DiCaprio in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, like pointing at the screen?
Yeah, that kind of.
It's like when you see a wrestler in a movie, do a wrestling move. That was. Hey.
Is the stunt coordinator on that called a guy called Jeff Amada? And I quickly looked him up, and he's got like virtually a black belt in every martial art you could think of. And he played all the aliens, the men and the women.
Yeah, I did read this. Yeah,
yeah. So when it cuts to him, it's always the same actor playing.
But there's like more aliens. Than one alien. What about when it's like the news reporters? Like a woman.
I imagine that they must have done like when in the shop and stuff. It must have been more people than more trouble than it's worth trying to. Green screen him in or whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently that was one of the most expensive sets was that the shop because they had to go through and redo everything.
Yeah.
All the
the products and stuff. Yeah. Pain in the ass as well.
Oh,
a bit.
Yeah. God. Yeah. Oh Jesus! Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Do you think they should remake this? Do you think it could work as a remake? The whole 99% or 1% thing kind of feels like.
Yeah, I think so. Some of the political messages could probably like translate well to a modern day thing about.
Maybe. I'm not sure what you could say that this one doesn't say already.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe if you did like the Dawn of the Dead remake style, and you just like ramp the action up. But then, what more can you ramp the action up with this? It's like as soon as he puts the glasses on, it's just like a roller coaster.
Which wrestler could you stick it in instead? John Cena?
Chris Jericho. He's got the... he's too nice, I think, Steve Randall.
And he could get in his You Can't See Me, John Cena thing.
Yeah.
I can't see you until I put the glasses on.
I always saw, you know, that there's that obey clothing that goes around.
Yeah.
I saw, that's really like Bloody They Live. I didn't even think of that. And I didn't realise that Shepard Fairey...
It's a bit like that film.
Yeah.
He took inspiration from it. And I was like...
Didn't he get... there's some sort of financial thing about that, right?
Really? Okay.
Because I remember he paid it, because it's graffiti at first, I think. He just started painting it everywhere. Yeah, it's interesting.
Because maybe he took the wrong message from that film.
Yeah.
Because
it's like, why they asked the secret signals? We could see it better with the sunglasses on.
Now I can
make I know how to obey.
Like, okay.
I'm going to sell this.
Yeah, I'm going to sell this.
What a great product.
The aliens' work is done.
Yeah. Okay. So, I forgot there's a woman character. She's from the bank, right? Where does he collect it from?
After he comes out of the bank, he...
By the way, if anyone looks like an alien, if I didn't have sunglasses, I'd be like, I think she's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got like a stare which like just cuts through you.
Yeah, she got really kind of those icy blue eyes that are kind of like, I wonder if she was kind of chosen for that because of that. She's kind of maybe got that look that the, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it there. But she sort of takes him, he takes her hostage, doesn't he? And takes her back to the house and he tries to make her see the glasses. And she says, look, I'm not going to see whatever you are. You want me to see. And if I don't, I'll see it anyway. Like,
I was getting, weird, like sexy vibes from her. Like she was, I don't know. It was like she was kind of finding the whole situation a little bit kinky.
There's that last bit when he's on the roof, and she says, "Come inside with me." You know what I mean?
It's just the way she was talking to him. She's like,
"Yeah,
oh yeah, don't worry, you're in control. It doesn't matter." And I was a bit like, is she getting off on this?
Do we think that she was, you know, on the books before all this? I know, like, we see her pick up sunglasses and then she does the big betrayal at the end. But she's weird from the get-go.
I reckon she probably was.
She was, because she works at that Cable 54.
Yeah.
As soon as she takes him out, she's on the phone saying, no, I'm fine, it's all good. And then she infiltrates that meeting. And even there, she tries to kind of like convert him then.
Yeah.
She says, can I speak to you? And then it all kicks off.
Yeah. And maybe it's her fault that it gets raided in the first place.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I always wondered how, like, that whole shootout when they were kind of blasting away, how she didn't get hit, because they just seem to be firing indiscriminately, killing everyone. But they're sort of they're one mole they don't manage to get.
It's like 30 Tony Montanas in SWAT gear just doing that.
Going back to the fight sequence, why do John and Frank meet in that alley? Oh, yes, because Frank goes to give him his paycheck, doesn't he? He says, like, here's a week's pay or something like that. And obviously, John is trying to.
That would have to be out of Frank's money.
Yeah.
Because the employer wouldn't pay John.
Yeah, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Because they would say, I'm going to give. Like that geezer at the shut of the bank. Have you got his wages? I'll go drop it off for him.
I'll go drop it off to him, yeah. You're not going to keep these wages for yourself, are you, Frank? No.
No.
Of course not. Yeah, and obviously he's trying to convince Frank. And the reason Frank doesn't want to sort of get involved is because he says he don't want to get in any sort of trouble. He wants to keep his head down, keep his nose out. Because he's trying to protect his family. He's obviously trying to make some money for his family or the life he left behind. And it's just a ridiculous fight sequence that you think is going to end. Every time they take a breather, you're like, well, that's got to be it now, isn't it? Nope, carries on.
There's a scene earlier with Frank and Nada, and he says, I'm walking that white line all the time. And he says, in the middle of the road, that's the worst place to be. And that's where Frank is as a character, isn't he?
Mm.
He just wants to stay out of trouble, but he doesn't realise being that place is the worst place because you get the aliens that roll over him eventually.
Yeah.
Or the system.
Yeah, but Nada's like the bloody all other side of the.
He's down the shop.
He's down the road, round the corner, just getting into all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
But his sunglasses on. Oh, you know now, do you? Yeah, I know. I want to go shoot up a bank. See you later.
Yeah.
Calm down, mate.
He's seen a YouTube video and now he's charging with Antifa, raiding protest.
See the bloody YouTube video, right? This guy knows his shit. He's got evidence.
Yeah. So I guess there's the anti-alien movement that gets raided by all those people. But they find out, they get some exposition here from one of the chaps, I can't remember his name, who says they've got a TV tower. It's like one giant satellite, and this pushes out the signal to everywhere, which sort of gives our main characters somewhere to aim for at the end. But I think it's just they get to the TV station, and then there's a whole we meet that other homeless guy.
Yeah, he's obviously sold out for whatever he had.
Yeah,
but and he sort of gives him a walk around, and he starts coming on to him there as well, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he starts touching him. Goes, I knew me and you had something in common the first time we met. Like smiling at him, like it could be a thing. Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't? He's Roddy Piper. But
at this point, though, he's killed like dozens of the aliens, and they're already still trying to go. Come on, mate. Come on, join us. Yeah, come on, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. They get given contact lenses at just before this, as well, don't they?
Yeah, to get over the sort of the plot device of having to wear the glasses all the time, which.
And then everything you see the sort of like they've got like a the skin is like a pink and hot pink and blue, green or something. Yeah.
There's a point in that when they have that meeting and someone brings up, oh, I reckon the signal could be going out from this place, and that Holly says, no, it's not. It's going out clean. But as we go to find out, it is. So we know from that point she's shady as.
Yeah.
They've actually got a game on Kickstarter called Assault on Cable 54.
Yeah. I think that's
I like the look of that. But I think you
a board game, is
play
it?
With, Yeah, you play with your mates and you're trying to sort the thing, but one of you can be like working for the aliens and you stitch the rest of the group up, stuff like that.
I would like to know what the aliens are called. They're just called aliens in this, aren't they?
They don't really have a name.
Just aliens, Cable 54. So
I think they're called invaders. I've heard them referred to as that before, and that's pretty much the same thing. But
yeah,
I've heard of the invaders or something like that. I've heard them referred to in the past, but maybe not.
Yeah. So when you're trying to refer to them, what do you call them? The things from they live. Whereas like if it's alien from alien, you say a xenomorph, like you sort of get.
They have been referenced as ghouls as well.
Okay.
I guess you can see that. They're a bit zombie-like.
Yeah. So this homeless guy who's switched, he seems to have full access to the entire building now. And he takes them on a tour to the TV studio bit where Frank and Nada do their thing. Just kick some ass. They're all out of bubblegum still. They didn't pick any up. So they just straight in with the shooting.
The actor who plays Mike from Breaking Bad is one of the guards in that. I spotted him. So,
really?
He pops up in everything. Yeah.
What?
When they're kind of like the guards, are like he's got that kind of ecto reader from Ghostbusters, and he says, "Oh, they're on the 13th floor above me." And then he responds, "Oh, we're above him," or something like that. He's one of that lot.
Yeah. So they blast through the building, and they find Holly again. And then instantly, even then, like even if she's there, I kind of feel like she must. What is it about her that he? It's her eyes. He just can't get over her eyes, so he's infatuated with her, maybe. I don't know.
It's odd, because if I was in like a rebel meeting and it got raided by the authorities and everyone was shut up in front of me, my first thing isn't go back to work.
Yeah.
Well, can I get back to work? Come on, get me back. I've got nothing else on.
But yeah, it feels like she's kind of thrown in their path to kind of like get the drop on them.
So, and then they go up to the roof. Frank meets his end. It seems like a bit of an anticlimactic end for him in a way.
She's cold as fuck.
Yeah.
Just pulls a gun out and executes him.
Yeah.
Why are they so willing to kill Frank but not
John?
Nada.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like they see something in him where they're like, I like you, guy.
Something about you. There's something about you. I just can't.
They were watching the alleyway fight. They were all up on the roof, like, just watching the alleyway.
And he was just absolutely mowing him down. He's an absolute beast.
So then I guess it ends. The helicopter comes up with have him in their sights. What does he do? He just shoots the...
He kills Holly, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he's got like a pistol up his sleeve.
Classic.
Yeah, takes her out and then shoots the antenna.
Yeah.
So just fuck it and then shoots it.
So the signal's gone. He's given his life for the greater good in a way. People are realizing that they're currently having sex with aliens. They're sat on a bus.
Doesn't Nada, he gives the aliens a middle finger, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's dying.
Yeah.
Classic, what a way to go.
Yeah.
People are realizing they're having sex with aliens. Just going to carry on, to be fair. Just going to commit to this.
Yeah.
They're putting all their eggs in one basket, the alien, with one satellite.
One transmitter. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's
maybe have a couple.
Power cut.
They've got like interdimensional travel. They haven't got a backup hard drive, they haven't got a time machine backup.
One transmitter. Have you put a second one up yet? I'll get round to it.
I'll get it done.
Yeah, it's on the list. The things I've got to do. Yeah.
I've got some trivia for you.
You guys have some trivia.
Very nice.
Okay, number one. What item of clothing did Roddy Piper refuse to remove during filming? What item of clothing did he refuse to remove?
Trousers.
I don't know, did he have some nice boots on? Did he have some lovely cowboy boots on?
Roddy Piper, being a married man at the time of filming, refused to take his wedding band off. So in several scenes, he's got a wedding ring. But they never talk about it.
Clovin. Sorry, Luke.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Number two, the name game. Dan, so this is where I describe a film and you have to say the name of the film. And the name of the film
okay.
is, you know, similar in convention to this film. They live. You'll pick it up. So this is a movie about a secret society of old age bakers who are constantly removing lumps from powdered sugar when you're not looking.
They sieve.
Yeah.
Nice.
I normally have a few of those, but I couldn't find that much that rhymes with
just
live.
I
think you'll get this one because you've already said it. Number three, the film was actually an adaptation of a short story called What by Who?
8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
By 8 o'clock in the morning by someone.
I can't remember his name.
Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper wrote it. Isn't it something like Ron? Ron.
Close.
Ron. Ron Jeremy. I can't remember.
8 o'clock in the morning by a writer called Ray Nelson. I can't say I've read much of his. Okay, so finish the tagline. You see them on the street. You watch them on TV. You might even vote for one this fall. You think they're people just like you. You're wrong. And then there's one more sentence at the end.
Dead wrong.
You're wrong.
Mate, you guys know this film very well.
I've got one, trivia.
Yeah,
John Carpenter wrote this film under an alias, Frank Armitage. Where did he get the Armitage name from?
I think I've read about this before.
Armitage Shanks. The
toilet makers.
He loved those toilets, right? When he came to the UK a couple of times, he's like, that's a good name. Loved that.
Well, he was a big fan of Lovecraft, and one of the characters in Dunwich Horror is Professor Armitage.
He got
from there. Oh, nice. He went on to do Bloody Mouth of Madness.
Which is basically
a love letter to Lovecraft, isn't it?
Yeah. Seth Kane. We need to do that on this show, actually.
One more
for you. Randy Macho Man, Randy Savage's favorite line in this film is what line?
Wait, who? Randy Macho Man, Randy Savage?
Yeah, you know,
he's got a favorite line.
Randy Macho
Man. He's got a favorite line.
Is it
put on those glasses and start eating that trash can?
That's a good one, but it's not that one.
I don't know.
Is it?
I'll tell you what. It's about a dog.
About a dog.
I think I've read this. Oh God, can't think of it. I don't know.
Okay,
can't remember.
Sorry.
Ask Magnus Magnusson.
Bad dog.
Life's a bitch, and she's back in heat.
In heat.
Oh yeah. That is a good line. Oh yeah, man.
We need to rate the film. I had no idea what I'm going to rate this, actually. No. We don't really like A to F, Dan, so I don't know if you wanted to.
I've got to say, this is a good B, me.
Yeah.
B+. It's solid. It's not going to be winning any awards, but it's a real solid film. It holds up today. The themes and messages are still relevant. You can read a lot into it, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I think I'd agree. I'd agree with Dan on that. I think I'd go for a B. It's not my favourite John Carpenter film by any means, but it's good fun. It's kind of, as Dan said, it's got a lot of themes and messages which are relevant and kind of still hold up. And it's properly over the top and ridiculous, which I kind of like. And
it doesn't feel like the real world. I mean, not the aliens. I mean,
even before like the alien stuff. Yeah, everything kind of feels this weird, like alternate future.
Yeah. I was going to go with a B-. But I don't know, favorite John Carpenter films. I don't even know, to be honest. I mean, there's the classics, but I mean, The Thing is almost too easy an answer.
Yeah.
Ghosts from Mars, or it's called. I've not seen that in a long time.
I feel like the Thing and The Fog are like the big 1-2 for me. And then this is probably like,
probably like middle of the road.
Big Trouble as well. And Escape from New York. So those are the big ones. This is probably like middle of the road, I'd say.
I think
I'd, still a classic.
If I was going to stick any of them on, I'd probably put on In the Mouth of Madness or Prince of Darkness. One of those sort of lesser watched ones, I guess.
I could pretty much quote this and Big Trouble verbatim all the way through the film. Yeah. So obviously you've got to be careful of that. It's something my wife hates. So
life's a bitch. If she's back in heat. Take the washing out.
Didn't like that one.
All right. Cool. All right. Dan, did you want to, you make comic books and you make cool stuff. Did you want to maybe give the listeners somewhere to go if they want to know more about?
Yeah, you can head over to Vanguard Comic, where you can read 17 issues of Vanguard. I'm currently updating issue 18. And if you want to see me tweet random shit, it's at Vanguard Comic.
Cool. Also, as you listen to this and you're probably a podcast fan, Dan has a fantastic comic book podcast, which we were actually on not that long ago.
Yes.
The Awesome Comics Podcast. I've been listening to that show for, I don't know, five years.
Wow.
It feels
it's been going for a number of years now.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's like yourselves, you do one a week or whatever, and so often, and before you know it, it's really built up.
Yeah.
You, like yourselves, I'm really kind of, your little community you've got around the Horror Hangout stuff is just great. I love it.
Cool, man. Thanks very much. Okay. So, Ben, have we got anything to tell people before we go?
No, I don't think so. I think so. No, nothing else. We're going to be doing a quiz with the Trash Tapes guys. Maybe not next week, maybe the week after. So if you listen to the recent episode where we discussed Spookies with the guys from the Trash Tapes, we'll be going head to head with them in the third official Horror Hangout quiz with Quizmaster Andy Conduit Turner.
Nice.
Cool. Let's get Dan on for a quiz. Maybe get Dan and Tony or.
Vince knows his horror stuff.
Cool. There you go. Good. Cool. Okay. If you enjoyed the show, become a patron over at patreon.com/HawkandCleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a rating and review on iTunes. And remember to hit subscribe. And come join the Facebook group, Horror Hangout Board Advisors, where we chat about films and watching and that. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a right horror dude. And thank Dan. For being a
thanks to you two.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks, Dan.
Nice one.
I'm off to hit the streets.
Oh, yes.
You.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itsinas.
Kayla Itsinas. I'm Kayla Itsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.